Does loyalty affect belonging? So let's say, like, you know.
Wait, hold on. The reason that one hits hard for me is because one of my deepest and most, like, one of my most important values, I think, I might be willing to say that, like, this is my most important value. Like, right. The thing I value most in people is loyalty.
Okay.
And so, I judge my closest to a friend based on how they express loyalty.
Okay.
And if... I don't know if this is a safe example to give, but...
Think of a safe example.
Okay. So if I have two friends that basically act the same in most situations,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be about the same level. But then if one randomly flips loyalties on me, they're going to be a lot lower level than the other person who just didn't.
Okay.
Or if someone expresses a loyalty beyond what I expected, they're going to be a lot higher than what I expected.
Okay.
But that's just my personal preference. Loyalty is one of the highest things I value, just because I believe that relationships are incredibly important, and as you develop them, you need to maintain them. And if you're not going to maintain a relationship with someone, you shouldn't let them believe that they're as important to you as someone that you do plan on maintaining a relationship with. Just so that they know that you don't plan on doing that, so they can invest their time and energy in someone else that will.
Right.
It's not necessarily a bad thing if you don't want to invest all that time in someone. It's just they need to know it so that they can properly invest their time and energy into someone that will give them something that you're looking for in someone else. And so this question is going to be really interesting, because loyalty is such a significant thing for me.
Okay. So let's apply, I guess, your concept of loyalty to a sense of belonging in video games. I'm going to do that as best as I can here. With that said, Animal Crossing. Let's say that, you know, you want to play the game, but there's a life event that happens to you or somebody that you know that essentially causes them to immediately and effectively stop playing the game for an extended period of time, like for months. We're talking about months, not like just like, you know, I stopped playing for like 2 weeks because plenty of things that could happen. But let's say like something happened, months went by, and then they try to insert themselves back into a community. How would you feel about, like, do you think that has a huge effect on a community? As in, like, certain people, you know, have a huge role in the community, therefore they need to currently be active, otherwise the community starts crumbling down? Or is that, like, not a huge effect on it?
I don't think it does have a huge effect on it. It definitely has a huge effect for your personal relationships within that community.
Okay.
If you just disappear from it for a while and then come back. But I think that actually shows the strength of that community to itself, like to the members, when someone disappears for a while and then they come back and they're explaining why they were gone and they feel the need to explain themselves to the community. I think it makes the community feel better about themselves, because they're like, we're someplace that people that want to come back to. And when they come back, they want to explain why they were gone and they want to be reaccepted.
Mm-hmm.
And so the community feels even better about itself, basically, because they know that it's something that people want. I can't really think of a relationship that I've had that was actually hurt by someone not wanting to play a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my favorite video game is Terraria, and you're my best friend, and you don't really enjoy Terraria.
Okay.
And it doesn't really impact our friendship. Like, right. I think it's awesome when you finally do play, but it doesn't hurt our friendship at all when you don't.
To be fair, I've taken my fair chance on it. Like,
yeah.
You've
given it way more hours than you would have had I not been pushing you so hard. And that's probably one of the reasons why we're such good friends, is because you're willing to try something for way longer than is sane, just because I want you to. And yeah, I don't think I've had any friendships that were actually hurt by someone not wanting to do something that I wanted to do. Like, I don't feel like your loyalty to a game is tied to your loyalty to me.
Okay.
And so I don't think that loyalty to games specifically hurts your relationships with the community about that game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't play Animal Crossing for a really long time, but I was still talking to the Animal Crossing communities and keeping up on the latest news, just because the game's interesting to me, but it wasn't the game I was playing at that moment.
So I guess in regards to essentially this topic, is there a difference in, I guess, the quality of the personal connection to the belonging when you play the game actively, when you just keep up with the news, or when you don't play the game and you don't keep up with the news, but you're still interested in the game?
Didn't quite follow the question.
Okay. I mean, I worded it kind of wordily and fast. So is there a difference in quality between the people who play and are part of the community, people who keep up with news but don't play the game, and then people who don't play the game, don't keep up with news, but, you know, are still interested in the game, and, like, say, like, the new game comes out and they play
it? So, it'll definitely show in the difference in quality of, like, the way they interact with the community.
Okay.
Because someone who's actively playing will every once in a while say, oh, I got this thing today, and I've been searching for a while, as opposed to someone who got that thing maybe, like, 2 years ago. If they recount their story, it's like, cool, but that happened a while back, so it's not as interesting as someone who just barely got it, who's finally experiencing that. People can share in that emotion. It's not something they can share, and it's just a story that happened. But I don't think it hurts the community at all. In fact, it probably helps if there's people who are in it who are like that, because it shows that people are willing to be part of the community even if they're not currently playing. And that probably shows more to the community than to the game, because if the game isn't keeping their interest but the community is, then the community's got something that the game's missing.
Oh.
That maybe the game would like to adopt, but maybe they can't adopt it for whatever reason.
Do you have an example of that? Of, like, you know, the game dying but the community?
So...
Or I guess explain on what you mean by that.
So my personal experience is... Animal Crossing.
Okay.
And I've recently gotten back into it, so it's not as much, but I was on 3 different Animal Crossing Discord servers back when I wasn't playing as frequently. And I think that a lot of people are actually doing this right now because of the New Horizons announcement trailer. A lot of people are going back to New Leaf just to get back into the flow of how an Animal Crossing game plays.
Right.
But I was still in those communities. I would still respond to the people in that community every once in a while. And so the game didn't die. And I think that that was part of why I stayed in the community. I understood that there were still people playing. And I felt like I would get back to it eventually.
Okay.
So I can't really think of an example when a game did die that I played a lot. I guess you would have a better example of this. How did were you involved in a lot of like Mario Tennis Aces stuff?
Oh shoot! Yes, I was involved. I mean, I guess.
So, like, were you on a Discord server?
I was on a Discord server.
So what happened to the Discord server after you noticed the queue times getting really, really long?
I mean, inherently the Discord servers were like already kind of dead even from like the get go. I don't know if that's just like the kind of culture of like sports games for Mario franchise. But, okay. Like, I just noticed that, so the subreddit for Mario Tennis Aces, which was, like, I was a huge part of for probably, like, 4 months or so, I was, like, into it, people were responding, everybody, like, if I ever gave, like, you know, because I was really into, like, the concept and strategies and techniques that you could use, you know, I said something in the subreddit, and everybody's like, oh, yo, this is amazing, check this out, all these other things, and then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I put out a piece of content out there, and then it just didn't get the same response. Not because I'm like, I need the response, but as part of more like, I wanted to see what other people thought. And all of a sudden, I wasn't getting those things. And I was just like, oh no. And then after that, I was just like, well, here's my next video idea. And then all of a sudden, you know, something that takes like seconds, mere seconds, like 8 seconds at the most, like 30 if it's kind of bad, was like 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh no, this is not going to work out. And then, you know, I went into the subreddit. And then, like, instead of like trying to like put content out there, I was like consuming it as much as I could. And essentially, it died down to the point of, like, there was nothing really. So, the things that I could take the things that I could take away from it was, like, okay, oddly enough, I ended up actually getting into tennis. Like, I found the YouTube, I found the YouTube part of tennis.
Interesting.
Which was, because somebody, I guess, Roger Federer, I don't know. He's just a huge famous tennis player. Okay. I had no idea who he existed until afterwards.
Same.
But it was weird. Like, the one thing the game valued, or that gave me value, was actually, like, the counterpart of, or its real-life counterpart, which is like, well, I guess now I know a little bit more about, you know, I don't know what a drop shot is, but now I do. I don't know what a straight is.
Yeah, for sure.
But now I do.
I can't remember the example, but there was a sport that I knew absolutely nothing about until I played it in a video game. And then I learned about it for the video game, and then I was like, wait, these are the real terms? And it was really interesting, for sure.
Yeah, my loyalty didn't last, but it was only because, like, the community that was there was, I guess immature. Not as in, like, the people were mature, because I met plenty of mature adults in that community, but it was just kind of like...
The community hadn't developed to the point where it could survive.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's still, like, you know, a small fan base, but it's nothing like, you know... I guess to put into perspective, like, the Smash Melee community, the game is so, so old.
Yeah.
But that has one of the strongest communities I've seen in my entire life for something sure. that is so old. And, like, Mario Tennis Aces just wasn't the same. And not that I would be, you know, against Mario Tennis Aces being the same as Melee, but it was just kind of like I didn't feel an inherent need to, like, get better. And then, like, you know, one of the reasons why I originally was playing Melee for as long as I did back in, like, 2016 to 2017 was because, you know, I also had, like, somebody that was, like, such an active part of the community that they just kept up with everything on it. And then, like, inherently, I just like Smash games and, like, I could get better and I saw my progress. And it was, like, all these things that, like, came together that, like, just really made it. And just ended up working out. But that's not how Mario Tennis Aces is.
Yeah. So maybe that wasn't a great example. I'm trying to find an example of maybe a community where the game did die off, but the community is still going strong. But it's hard to separate those, because the way you tell if a game is dying is because people don't talk about it as much. So I don't know how you would keep track of that. But yeah, so I did want to explore something that you didn't quite ask me, but it came to mind because of your question.
Okay.
One of the things that made me feel like Arcade was a bad game was because of the loyalty of the players to each other within the game.
Oh,
so okay. Not necessarily to the game itself, but everyone had the same loyalty to the game. They were always on every day for a certain number of hours, blah, blah, blah. And then within the game, it was... You were hard-pressed to find someone who would actually stick with you for some reason.
Okay.
So, unless you knew them in real life, it was really difficult to find someone in the game who you could trust if a major change was going to happen, that they would go the same direction as you in that change. The biggest example is, like, if your guild was going under, like, the guild leader was leaving or was going to disband or whatever, if you, knowing that some of the people you'd grown to join that guild would go into a similar guild as you, it was really hard to know that because it was just really, really difficult. There was no reason for them to join the same guild as you, because if they got into a different guild, they'd get all the same benefits as you and they'd make different friends there. And so loyalty was something I almost never found in Arcage. And even among people I knew in real life, they would leave and go join a different guild because it was better, but I couldn't get in that guild because I didn't have the right gear score or whatever random
right,
thing.
Right, right, right.
And so Arcage just grated on my loyalty value because I couldn't find people who would stay loyal in that game. And it's really interesting because I actually did find a group that actually did stay loyal to each other despite the game, and I'm still in that Discord.
Wait, for Arcage?
Yeah.
Wait, really?
I'm still in the Discord of a guild that I was in Arcade, but that guild doesn't play Arcage anymore.
What do they do?
They play other games together. A lot of them play Ark, some of them play Terraria.
Wait, okay, so hold on.
So it was a community that developed around Arcage, and then Arcage left and the community stayed there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very cool, actually.
Yeah, and it's because they had the loyalty that Arcage didn't support.
Okay, I'm on this kick now, so now I gotta ask. Do you think it's because that specific group has a high emotional intelligence?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't understand emotional intelligence very much. Like, I know it's super important, and I wish I did, but I can't recognize it when I see it.
Okay.
It takes me a really, really long time to notice something is going on. Takes me a long time to act upon it after I notice it. It's just a long, long time, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
In fact, I would be surprised if it wasn't there.
Okay.
And so I just recognized it as loyalty, and the people there, whenever I interacted, they were happy to see me, even though they hadn't seen me in a couple of months. And they just treated me like I'd been there the whole time. And I just felt great about that. That might be high emotional intelligence at work. But I just can't recognize it yet.
Sorry, I'm on the kick of asking emotional intelligence. I know it's actually Ocularis, but I was actually talking about Smash Melee. Melee is in terms of lifespan for games, Melee is pretty old. I was referring to that game, not Smash in general, but Melee.
Actually, as a game lifespan, like, games lifespan is usually, like, 5 years is ancient, but still relevant. Melee is old,
and actually, somehow still wait, relevant. I want to do an experiment real quick. Like, just, like, okay, Google. When did Smash Melee get released? November 21st, 2001. The game is 18 years old.
It is 3 times older than ancient, and people still play it religiously.
That is ridiculous. But, you know, actually, it was kind of interesting. Side note of everything that's kind of happening. Everybody thought that, you know, Evo. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody thought that because Melee wasn't going to be at Evo, the game's dead. Like, you know that scene in The Incredibles? Where he's like, we're alive, but we're dead. Like, that's literally what the Melee community was doing at the time. It was absolutely hilarious. I love the memes. But you know, it honestly, it doesn't feel that different. And I'm not, like, an active part of the Melee community, but, like, I'll check it out every once so often and, like, refresh on my tech skill, and then I'll go in and, like, oh, what's the new stuff? And found, like, I think, if I'm not incorrect, there was a new tech found in Melee.
I am not surprised in the least. That's what happens when you play a game for this long. I say when you play a game. When a game is this active for this long, new stuff is found constantly. Did I tell you about, there was a speedrun, I think it's Donkey Kong 64.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find these, like, rainbow coin things in order to get far enough in the speedrun. Someone found a new one. Like, you would think after this long they would have found all of a static number of programmed coins, but no, I think it was like 2017 they found a new rainbow coin that significantly changed the speed run. And I'm just like, what?
No. No.
And
way
it's crazy, because it's not like they can patch the game and put new coins in. It's an old game. But when a game is played for this long, new stuff gets found.
Wow.
And for Melee, you're never going to run out of new stuff to find, because tech is something that's constantly evolving, even right. In a static game. But a rainbow coin? That's a static thing that can't evolve. How the heck? And it was just bizarre.
Was that, like, intended to be in the game?
Mm-hmm.
And we've just been missing it every time?
Yeah. And what happened was, it was this level that was like a giant field, and there were a bunch of bumps in it. And if you hit the right bump, a rainbow coin came out. And just no one went and hit every single bump in the field, because most of the time nothing would happen. It wouldn't be different than hitting anywhere else in the field. So no one did it. And actually, it was found by someone who was going through the game and seeing all the different flags that could be set, and just setting them and seeing what would happen, and unsetting them and seeing what would happen. And he set one, and a new rainbow coin was found. He's like, where would you get this? And so he went through and tried to figure out what level the flag was for, what part of the level the flag was for, and what the trigger was, and he finally found it. So it wasn't even like someone randomly stumbled upon it. Someone went into the code, was playing around, found it, and then went and figured out how you would get to it in the game. Years and years later.
That is some intense stuff. Okay,
yeah.
But getting back on track with loyalty affecting community.
Oh, right.
We've touched on a lot of parts on this, and I guess I kind of wanted to. I know you talked about it, but I didn't quite understand, because, like, I got into the sidekick of, like, there was a smaller community caused by a game.
Right, right.
That was an Arcage. So I kind of wanted to just kind of, like, I guess summarize it a little bit more, as in, like, so the question was specifically that, like, the Arcage intrinsically kind of requested loyalty in the game, however it was hard pressed to find because of the guilds. However, you found an abnormality, or kind of go more in depth?
I intrinsically search for loyalty in every game I play.
Okay.
Arcage lends itself to finding the best thing for you, which is not loyalty. Loyalty is like the opposite of that, because loyalty is finding the best thing for your relationships in your community.
Okay.
Not like the best piece of gear for you. It's whatever would make your relationship stronger. And Arcage wasn't about that. It was about getting your gear score as high as possible. And so I found a community in there who did value loyalty slightly more than getting a higher gear score. There were people in that community who were constantly inviting me to dungeons, even though I wasn't the best healer in the guild. I wasn't the highest gear score person in the guild. I wasn't even the most active person. It was just, whenever I was on, every once in a while someone would randomly be like, "Hey, Forestry, you want to go run a dungeon?" And I'd be like, "Yeah." I'd love to go play a game with someone.
So,
Nani?
Okay, I kind of... Now I have a bunch of questions about this. Do you think, or, well, maybe not a bunch, but point being, do you think that it was the value, do you think that they gave you value by recognizing when you were online, or was it more of like the idea that you didn't feel like you should have been asked, but you were, so therefore it was good?
Yeah, so it was a combination of, I saw myself as just like some random peon in the guild.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could just go and say, "Hey, is this specific good healer online? Can we take them into this dungeon?" They would just go on and see who all is online. And actually, if I paid attention to the guild chat, I would see them saying, "What are you doing, random insert name here?" And there was like 30 people in the guild, so it wouldn't be that difficult to figure out what everyone was doing. And most of the time I was telling them that I was just crafting stuff, and they're like, "You want to come run a dungeon really quick?" I'm like, "Yeah, because I can't do a dungeon by myself. Being a healer, I do no damage."
Right.
And I also have no defense. So, they kind of, I don't know. they didn't, what was the question?
So the question was, is that, did they give value by you, by recognizing when you were online, or was it the idea that you feel like that you shouldn't have any input, however you were given input because you were online?
So I feel like it was that they were just giving everyone a chance to participate.
Okay.
And I wanted to participate, so it gave me that chance that I wouldn't have gone out to seek myself.
Okay.
So they were kind of giving me an opportunity to show that I was worth taking into a dungeon.
So wait, hold on. I guess I'm kind of curious now, because so when you mention the community and somebody says it, is the somebody the guild?
Someone in the guild was saying.
Someone in the guild. Was it, I mean, my personal question is like, was it the same person typically every time, or
no,
was it?
Surprisingly, it was if I really paid attention, it was probably like the same four or five people. It was probably like the same four or five people asking. But it wasn't the same person asking every time, and they didn't ask the same people every time. So it wasn't like, this person got on and asked these five people, and I happened to be one of the people they liked one time, so they kept asking me.
Right.
They would check everyone in the guild for what they were doing, and then they would see if they wanted to go with them to a dungeon. And it was actually nice, because, like I said, Arcage had like the dungeon that only three people could go into, dungeon five people, dungeon 10 people. So however many people they collected, they would do a different dungeon. They wouldn't be like, "Anyone need gear from this specific place? Let's go get it." It would be like, "Who wants to run a dungeon together?" And then however many people they've got, they'd be like, "All right, should we do this one or this one?" And so even after we got into the group, we could have input on what dungeon we wanted to go do. and because of the nature of my class, I wanted to go play a dungeon that no one wanted to play because it dropped a lot of healer stuff. Which was unfortunate, but surprisingly, when a group finally got together that wanted to go around that dungeon, they asked me if I wanted to come because I'd asked to go to it so many times. And I felt really noticed in the community. And it was nice. So that was why I kept with the community. I got on their Discord, and even after they all stopped playing Arcage, every once in a while they'd put out a public request in the Discord. Anyone want to play Terraria? Anyone want to play Ark?
In Arcage?
Or... No, on the Discord.
Oh, the Discord that you came.
This was after the guild stopped playing Arcage. And so that's why I stayed in there, because every once in a while they'd ask if I wanted to play a game other than Arcage, and sometimes I would want to.
Okay.
And I don't know if you played with us, but this was actually the guild that we ended up playing on the Minecraft server with.
Wait,
Do you remember that build that we were building? That I was building. That was just a giant cylinder?
No.
Unfortunate. Okay, so it was... I remember me, Silke, Turnknown, and a new name were all playing Minecraft. And a new name played Minecraft, which blew my mind.
A new name is playing Minecraft?
He didn't play for very long, but he actually did play because this was the community that we all played with in Arcage. And they were doing a Minecraft server, and we got on there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Okay, so we're running short on time, and I kind of wanted to kind of... I feel like it's still very blurred as to how loyalty is affecting
a sense of belonging. So I would say loyalty affects a sense of belonging if you are loyal to the people in the community.
Okay.
And your loyalty to the game isn't as important as your loyalty to the other people playing the game.
And that is because...
What?
As in, like, so the loyal, it, so those affects the things that they affect because...
Because if you're not loyal to the game, but you're loyal to the community, you're still going to show up, you're still going to participate in conversations, you're maybe going to learn new things about the game, it'll be interesting, and you'll make the community feel more alive, even if you don't play the game.
Okay.
And so, but if you are loyal to the game, but not to the community, then the community is going to die off. This is assuming everyone has the same stance. If everyone's loyal to the game, but no one's loyal to the community, everyone's going to just go to Google every time they want to search something new.
Mm.
And they're not going to bolster that community, but they're going to make sure that the game continues to have players.
So
for communities, I think it's more important to be loyal to the other people. If you want to keep a game afloat, it would be best to be both, because a community definitely makes a game do a lot better.
So I guess let me ask you, I've known, like Google is my mom, don't get me wrong. But... in that sense, do you think that it is, like, I've gone into, you know, guild chats and, like, whatnot, and I've, like, I don't know, something about me is just, like, I want to know the XYZ people in guild, so then I ask questions that I would imagine most anybody would know, but I ask them specifically because I'm, like, hey, I'm actually trying to build a relationship with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in asking a relatively simple question... Do you think that is perceived as a positive or a negative thing in a guild community? Because more often than not, my experience has been that it's like just look it up, right? Nothing wrong with that. I'm like, that's fair. But I feel like I always miss on the opportunity.
So I think it's neither.
Okay.
But it's the response that can be seen as positive or negative. So if you ask a rather mundane question, people can respond in a million different ways, but basically they can just say, go figure it out, it's simple. Go look it up, it's easy. They can just give you the answer straight up and stop. Or they can actually take the time to explain what it is and mm-hmm. why it is. And I think that last one is the best response you can give if you're trying to build a community.
Oh, in
but if you're trying to start that conversation, you're gambling which one of those you're going to get. And it's really hard, but it also gives you a tell about the community. Because in that Arcage community that I'm actually still in, all of those showed up.
Oh, I see.
Okay. But the fact that many people were willing to respond said something about the community, and then the fact that someone was willing to tell you said more about the community. And so if there was someone saying, just go look it up, maybe they were trying to tell you that it's simple, but maybe they don't have the time to talk about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're just being rude. But the fact that other people were willing to tell you right then, and they took the time out of their day to tell you, kind of said more about the community, saying that it's not them being rude because they're still in this community, and they gave you that response, so that's more likely that they're probably just busy right now. Because if they were like that and the community reacted like that, they probably wouldn't continue to respond to messages like that.
Right.
And so you probably wouldn't see them as active in the community. They might eventually leave. So communities tend to be generally similar people.
So we've got the concept of loyalty, how it affects community, our personal perspectives on it, and then the one thing that I kind of wanted to, I guess, hit on is, oh no, I just lost my train.
Oh no.
It was a really good question, now I'm upset. Okay, so, well, I mean, in that case, oh, I remember my question.
Okay.
Alright, in the response, more often than not, then, in order to build a progressive community, would you say that one needs to be, like, the majority in regards to answering questions?
Yeah, and if not, it needs to be clear that someone would be willing to do that, but they're not able to do it now.
Okay.
So I think that the best communities are definitely people who are willing to pause what they're doing to come and help someone that's new to it understand it, at least as far as they do.
Okay.
Maybe they don't understand it perfectly, but they understand it more than this person, clearly, who's asking this question. So if they can explain it enough that they can get to the same level of understanding, maybe they'll ask a more insightful question that explain that helps more people in the community.
Okay.
So for communities, that's definitely the best response you can give. If you want to build a community, make sure you're giving that response as much as possible, so then other people can see this is the type of community we want to build, and you'll either lose people that don't want that, mm-hmm. or you'll build that in your community. And maybe you don't want that in your community, but I would certainly want that in mine.
To each their own, but with that said, thank you, Forstray, for being on the podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you have any questions for me, my guests, or anything about the podcast, really, go ahead and tweet at me at Versidax, V-E-R-C-I-D-A-X, and I'll answer all your questions there. Drink lots of water, get plenty of rest, and I'll see you next time.